Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Who Lead. And with me today is not just one leading lady, but I have two leading ladies with us. And I am delighted to say that I have the lovely Denica Mathness and also Toni Brooks, who are both female veterans that now run successful businesses. And our topic today is on celebration of Independence Day in America. We have female veterans who are winning in the transition from being in the military to entrepreneurship. So, Denica and Toni, welcome, welcome. Say hello to all of our listeners.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, thank you.
We wanted to make sure we have both of you, you know, available. So, listeners, we've got a treat for you today. But, you know, I think the first thing that I and all of our listeners and anybody listening would want to say is muchas gracias and thank you both for your service. I mean, you know, talk about a better time of year just to be able to say thank you. So thank you both for your service.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
And, you know, one of the things that, as you know, from Connected Women of Influence that's near and dear to us is, you know, just looking for different things to help women advance in the workplace, help women advance in business. And I'm kind of curious, I'm going to start with you, Denica, but what was your role, you know, as a veteran? I mean, as a military woman, it's like, what did you do in the military? Whatever you can share, but what was your role and which branch of the service were you in?
Absolutely. Well, I was in the Air Force, and I was stationed at Langley Air Force Base in Virginia, which is the Air Force's first fighter wing. So I know if you see in movies, if you guys watch more war movies, they always show Langley, and that's actually where I was stationed at. And I was a psychiatric technician, which the best way I can explain that is basically what corpsmen are to the Navy, so like a nurse's aide, however, in the mental health space.
And, yeah, so were you in a hospital then, working with folks, or predominantly?
Yes, I was, okay. Yeah, I was in a mental health clinic, and so basically, you know, active duty and spouses that would come in for any type of connection that had to do with mental health.
Got it. Okay, Toni, and you, what did you do in the military?
So I served in the Army, and I was personnel administration specialist, which is equivalent in the civilian world more of an HR personnel. So we were responsible for readying all of our troops, making sure all of the records were valid, suiting everyone up for deployments and things of that nature. Health benefits, insurance, things of that nature.
Got it. And, you know, this is for both of you ladies. So, Toni, I'll have you take this one first. But, you know, what can you share? It's like, what prompted you to get into the military? And then the bigger question is, you know, what things were going through you when you decided to retire from the military? It's like, what was going on there? Because I know some people continue to re-up and re-up. And, I mean, if you can share, what prompted you to say, this is where I need to go first step into in the U.S. service?
This is one of my favorite questions. I always love to share this. I actually joined the military when I was growing up. All of my uncles, I had about four or five uncles that were servicemen, and then my two brothers went. When I was around 9 or 10, my two brothers went. So mm-hmm. when they used to all bond around the kitchen table and share their war stories, my sisters and I, we used to feel left out. And it was one particular time where we were in in my parents' home. And long story short, they were talking about magazines and weapons. And so my sister and I automatically assumed they were talking about magazines like Vogue and Essence and things like that. And so they made us feel so bad because we thought it was a fashion mag. And so
oh
I took
my
that as
God.
A personal challenge.
That became
a personal challenge to me. And so I shocked everyone, actually, and decided to join and served 8 years total. And I'm not going to lie, every now and then I get a little itch. I do want to re-up. And I've gone and talked to recruiters, but never quite went in. But I think a lot of us service members, we tend to miss it. So I wouldn't be surprised a lot of us did the same things and just inquired a little bit.
Wow. But what a great story. So you do know that magazines now what they are, right? There's two different definitions.
The first time I held a magazine in my hand in training, I actually had to laugh to myself. Say, oh, okay, this is a magazine.
All right. Oh, that's cute. That's a really cute story. So continuing with you, so if that's what got you in, wow, 8 years. 8 years is a lot. I mean, kind of share it, like, within what was going through you and the reason why you said, you know, I need to retire, get out.
Well, my time was up. I successfully served the term and I kind of wanted to get more into the civilian life and start really focusing on my career long term. I, you know, was interested in, back then I was interested in advertising and marketing and PR, more creative aspects of a career. And so I was in school but somewhere something happened and I'm a Gemini, first of all. So Geminis, I believe that we have two people. So I'm battling back and forth with my second person. One side of me is very creative. Another side of me is very edgy and love the weapons and things like that. So I guess I finally decided enough was enough for that type of career, and I wanted to do something different. And I wanted to be a little more creative. So that's what it was.
And, you know,
it's
good information, and I'm going to come back and ask both of you because I want to get to Danica too, but, you know, ask you what was it like, you know, when you opted out of the military. I mean, talk about, you know, oil and water. It's like go from the military to the civilian world. I know you guys have quite a bit of stories, but Danica, how about you? I mean, what prompted you to jump in and, you know, serve, and at the same time, then how many years, and why did you decide to get out?
Well, contrary to Tommy, this isn't my favorite question, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's something that I'm getting used to answering because in the past, I didn't even like to say that I was a veteran because of my experience when I was in, but I will share why I got in. For me, it was more of opportunity. I came from a very strict Hispanic home, and we didn't have money for college, and we didn't have, you know, I didn't know what my next step in life was, but basically I'd been working since I was 15 years old and finished high school early because I wanted to get out of, you know, my neighborhood. I wanted to get out of my house, and I just wanted to be like a free, independent woman, basically at a very young age. I've always had that vision. And I decided, hey, why not join the military? I felt like that was, you know, the fastest way possible and the smartest way. I did a little bit of research. And initially, I was going to join the Navy because my dad is actually a Vietnam veteran, and I wanted to go down my dad's path. However, the Air Force recruiting office was right next to the Navy. And to be honest with you, I never, ever dreamed of joining the Air Force just because I honestly was like many people. I thought it was only for pilots and fighter pilots and things like that. But I trickled into there just to kind of inquire about it. And they're like, no, you can do absolutely anything in the Air Force. And so I ended up going that route. I took the test. I did very well. And I ended up getting what I wanted, which was to be a psychiatric technician, just because it sounded so intriguing to me. I did 2 years, and I unfortunately, during my last kind of year there, I had some unfortunate circumstances happen, but I did serve honorably, and I did get an honorable discharge, and because of those circumstances, I decided that it was the best thing for me to do. I didn't want to get out. I wanted to retire. I wanted to do, you know, 21 plus years. I wanted it to be a career, but it ended up not being what I expected. I didn't really get my command's support. I feel that a lot of women in the military, it happens to them. You know, it happens where something happens to you and then, you know, you speak up about it. And in the military, it's just kind of like, suck it up, you know, suck it up. That's what you signed up for. And that's what happened. But to me, getting out was probably the best decision that I made, even though I do miss it sometimes. I miss the career aspect of it, absolutely. I loved the discipline of it. I loved putting on a uniform. It made me very, very proud. But
wow.
I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't because I made that decision.
And, you know, thank you for being so authentic. You know, at the same time, I know we all have transitions in our life that kind of say, oh, you know, this is kind of an area that it's like I'm not loving to talk about or something like that, because I do think, you know, everybody right now, at least I think in the United States, is really looking for how can we support veterans. You know, there's so many people coming back from, you know, their time in the military, and people talk about the tough transition from, you know, either discharging or, you know, that they're opting out. So I'm kind of curious with, you know, either one of you, Tony or Denica, who wants to take it, that, you know, what is it like? I mean, was it exciting going from being in the service and then getting into civilian life? And, you know, the bigger question is, what made you choose to become, both of you, entrepreneurs as opposed to going and working for somebody else? Because I am absolutely understanding the, I want to do my own thing. It's like I'm unemployable. So we'll start with that. So there's me, Sharon. But what made you guys decide, you know, that entrepreneurship was the right thing for you? Tony, you want to take it first?
Yes, I'll go first. So when I transitioned out, mine was, it was kind of smooth. A lot of transitions, a lot of veterans have different experiences. And for me, mm-hmm. my challenges didn't begin until years after I made the transition out of the service. And then that's when I faced my difficulties of homelessness. And I realized it was due to, because of my, just how I was used to how the military was, it was probably tough for me to sustain a civilian position. Mm-hmm. And so I would put out thousands and thousands of resumes and was told that I was overqualified because of my military service and then when I went and got two bachelor's degrees, it was like, oh, wow, this person is overqualified. Or when I finally got into the job, it was a lot of conflict of what I was used to a work environment should be compared to what the civilian work environment should be. And I'm hearing a lot of female veterans, or just veterans in general, experiencing that, because our values are quite different. We are the ones that will show up. If we're supposed to start at 8 a.m., we were probably showing up at 7:30. And it's not to show anybody else up. It's just that's what we're used to, you know. So
right.
It was a lot of just a big culture shock, if you will. So with me, it was tough for me to sustain a job. But at the same time, I had all of this experience. And I realized that, well, if no one wants to hire me to share my abilities with them, then let me just launch my own company. And so from there, I launched my very first company and went through all of the challenges with that. And I realized, with all of my background, skill, and experiences, why not be a CEO of a company? And then when you add my business degrees to it, I was equipped to pretty much handle every aspect of a company. And so it was very exciting to me to finally make that decision, to even finally realize, and then to make that decision. And so to this day, I wouldn't have it any other way. I've launched so many different companies in my company. Some failed, some excel, you know, but
sure.
I just take it one day at a time and then just stay connected and spiritually grounded and I just go from there.
No, I love that. And I will tell you, there's so many, you know, very successful entrepreneurs that will say, like, I made and lost my first million. I made and lost my second billion. It's like I made and lost my zillions. And by the fourth time, I finally figured, you know, I had a winner. I mean, and each time I think we learn from that. You know, I mean, I'm on a couple of ventures as well. And I have found, you know, every step of the way I learned something new. But go back to something for me, and Denica, I'll get back to you here in a second. But tell me, you know, in your time when you transitioned out of the military, you know, I know that the military does so many things of the TAPS program and things like that, that they give you all the details of your benefits and things. But do you feel, you know, did you feel that there was maybe something lacking in how your, what you did in the military and then what it didn't prepare you for in civilian life to work for somebody else? I mean, because you said culture shock, and, you know, I do understand the whole idea that there is just a total culture difference, you know, for corporate America versus maybe what, you know, you experienced in the military. I mean, it's like, you know, step up, well, how high, you know, in corporate world, it's step up, well, why? Not the same thing at all, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, when I transitioned out, there weren't a welcome wagon for me and let us help you make your next step in life. I don't remember hearing or seeing any of that. I love the fact today that I'm noticing there are different programs, but I don't know why when I got out, I just, none of that was around. I didn't have any programs to kind of help me transition. What I used to help me transition was my own, just how driven I was, because I made the decision when I was getting out what I wanted to do next in life. So I kind of just took it upon myself and hit the ground running. So it could have been a situation where the program probably was there, but I wasn't even trying to find them, either or. But also it did help to have my uncles and my brothers to kind of help me pave the ways. And so that in itself, you know, it's just having someone that actually went through it kind of helped me go through it, is what I credit to preparing me for a life in the civilian world just in general. And so, yeah, but then when I started looking for employment, it kind of was one of those things that hit me in the face and say, hey, it's not as easy as you thought it would be, you know.
Right.
But it's one of those things that I believe when you go through certain things, it makes you who you are and it puts you where you are today. And just like how Denica said, she made that decision, but she wouldn't be where she is today. And that's how I feel. Like the decisions that I've made, I wouldn't be where I am today. So I'm just grateful that whatever did happen, happened, but it kind of sharpened me up, and here I am today, you know?
And do you feel then the programs are a little different now as people come back, you know, and opt out of the military? But now there's just a whole different level of support?
Yes, it is. Back then, it wasn't even really cool to be a vet. I've been out since 2004.
Wow.
2003, 2004. So it wasn't even as cool as it is now to be a veteran. It was one of those things where you got out, okay, whatever. And I remember when my uncles were already out by the time I realized who they were, but when my brothers got out, it was just like, well, when my first brother, he got out when I was in, and my other one just retired maybe about a year or two ago. But anyway, when he got out, he kind of hit the ground running too. I don't recall him going through any programs, but I do remember him telling me, go to school and learn these skills and things like that. But, yeah, now everywhere I turn, every email I open, there's some program, there's some kind of a support, and it's a beautiful thing. But I do not remember all of that when I got out. So times are definitely changing.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting though, but in Denica, I know you're like this too, and you know, Tony, with you, it's like you, just the things you shared, my gosh, it's no wonder to me that you're not hugely successful and you've had these transitions and you've handled it. I mean, we all have adversity, but just your whole attitude of, it's like, I'm going to make it work, I'm going to make it happen, it's like, I mean, that's, you know, props to you and to all of our listeners, just because I know you and Denica pretty well, and just like, you guys are both very positive ladies. So Denica, how about you with your, you know, your discharge out of the military? It's like, did you choose entrepreneurship or did it choose you?
Sure. Well, you know, just like Tony shared earlier, everyone has a really different transition, but I feel like we all at the end of the day have this thing in common that as a veteran, you learn the same values when you are in the military, to stay strong and sometimes that whole suck it up thing does come in handy. For me, when
that's
I first got out.
That's a technical
term. You know,
suck it
they
up.
Do.
Suck it up.
Suck it up. Suck it up. So for me, what it was is when I first transitioned, I had to save up enough money to come back home. Home for me is San Diego. And let me tell you, so my AFSC, which is stands for Air Force Code, which is what job codes, my code was mental health technician. So when I got out, I'm like, okay, well, I'll just get a job as a mental health technician. And I was really wrong because mental health technicians in the civilian world make minimum wage and you are at risk for hepatitis and HIV and all these things because you're dealing with mentally ill people that you have to, you know, administer shots to, take them down, you know, you're risking them biting you and things like that and having that contact with them. And so it was very scary for me. And no, and I faced kind of what Tony faced was application over application. I wasn't getting a call back, and it was very frustrating for me. But what I ended up doing was a legal office gave me a chance, and it has nothing to do with my job. But because I was a veteran and that was on my resume, they said, well, we believe in you. We believe that if you served in the military, then you can do anything. So how about come into this legal office and be a secretary? And so that's what I did. And I did that until I could save up enough money to come back home. And when I came back home, I faced another challenge. Okay, so now I have to get another job and find that. And so what happened was I was going from job to job to job, and it was very difficult for me. And one of the commonalities was that I did end up being homeless as well because of how difficult the market was here in San Diego. And I just wasn't identifying with the right career for me after the military. I just wasn't identifying with it. And now that I reflect those years, I see that. But at the time, it was just like, you know, trying to make it. And during that time, I was basically working with veterans and helping them find jobs, which was so ironic. And I really enjoyed that. I worked
Can I ask
for
you a question on that? Did you find that the same issues were prevalent with the ones you were helping, you know, these other veterans, that they were just, you know, what they found in the military versus what they were finding in the civilian world was, you know, oil and water and very different?
Absolutely. I think that was one of the biggest, you know, challenges for a lot of them that I was talking to, especially, for example, those that, you know, maybe were in infantry, right? They're the snipers or the people, the people on the ground. They're like, I don't want to be a security guard. They keep telling me to be a security guard. That's not what I want to do. I want to own a flower shop. Like, you go from this, you know, hardcore Marine to I want to own a flower shop. And nobody is helping me make that transition. And even recently, even though they have put a lot of programs in support of veterans, I think sometimes there's a little bit of a disconnect in helping support the veteran, not to tell them what to do, what they fit, because that's what they did in the military, but really to support and hear out, what is your passion? I mean, take the skills, not necessarily the hard skills, but the soft skills that you have from the military and transition to that. So, yes, absolutely.
I think that's really interesting advice because, you know, when you look at it, that's what they're trying to do is match people's skills. Well, here's what you did before, so let's match that with, you know, job, you know, equality, you know, whatever was, you know, job equal to in the civilian world.
Right.
But, boy, you know, I could see, man, if you were, you know, shooting things when you were over in Iraq, then you come here and you're like, you know, flowers kind of work for me, you know. It's like not doing anything else. So, and for you, I know you're still on this whole story thing, but it's like, you know, for you, how did you – along with you getting into entrepreneurship, you said you weren't a fit with the JOB thing, but then how did you decide to start a business? And then how did you choose which business? You know, that's, I think, what's fascinating to anybody is that it's totally different than what you did before.
Sure, absolutely. So basically along my journey, on the side to make extra money, I was doing makeup, and I absolutely loved it. I mean, it just gave me this, like, euphoria that I just knew from a very young age. I always loved art, and I loved doing makeup. And so I actually was self-taught. I self-taught myself, and I ended up finding a certification program that certified me later on. But I would just do that. People from word of mouth, oh, you did so-and-so's makeup. Can you do mine for my wedding? Can you do mine for the Marine Corps ball? And then after that, I just started doing on the weekends when I wasn't working a 9-to-5. I was doing runway models. I was doing photo shoots, and word started to get around. So that was always on the side. Then I came a point into my life where I just kind of felt really burnt out from all of that, you know, from trying to do a 9-to-5 and have this itching and burning inside me that I love the makeup world, and I can't sustain a 9-to-5 because it's just not something that I could emotionally and mentally handle at the time. So I made that decision and said, you know what, I'm going to, excuse my language, but I'm going to go balls to the wall on this. And my dream and what I am passionate about, and that actually, it wasn't until earlier this year that I decided to do that and launch my website, which is DanicaGlam.com, and pursue makeup 100%. And so that's what I'm doing now.
Wow. And loving it. I can tell you love it. Just your whole voice inflection was different when you started talking about it. Tony, with you, what are you doing in business now? Because I know you've had, like you said, a couple of evolutions, and trust me, you know, I have too as a small business owner. But what are your current escapades as an entrepreneur?
Oh, yeah. So I'm in the fashion world, in the fashion industry. So professionally, I am a fashion stylist, and my clientele are mostly executives in the C-suite or VP suite. Mm-hmm. And I also just launched a accessory line for women, which are bow ties and handbags. And ooh, we launched our website last month, actually, and we are in stores in California, and so, and just like with Danica, she was self-taught. I remember when I was getting ready to launch this bow tie line, I didn't know how to sew, and I was going to get an investor to help me launch the line, and so I designed the first collection to manufacture, and I had a delivery to make to a certain store. And in my, just a challenge that I had, and this is just an example of why I credit my military career, because we're taught to just keep pushing forward. So when my investment fell through, I just sat at my sewing machine for a weekend. I taught myself how to sew, and I ended up
sewing.
I don't even know where it came from, but I literally sewed the first collection, and I was able to make the delivery to the store on time. And in the first day, I sold half my collection. And so that was just confirmation for me as saying, okay, now this is your new business venture. So on top of me styling my clients, I now have my bow tie line, which is called the Tony Brooks Collection.
Uh-huh.
The website for that is tonybrooks.us. Very proud that it's 100% American made. I think as a veteran, I would be crazy to not have my collection manufactured in the U.S. So that's
smart girl. Yep.
And I do philanthropy as well. This fall, I'm launching my foundation called the Tony Brooks Foundation, where we bridge the gap between the fashion industry and nonprofit organizations, and we assist those organizations in raising funds with the use of the tools within the fashion industry. For example, we may host fashion shows, produce fashion shows to raise funds. I work with a lot of retailers to get clothing donations to support some of the programs these nonprofits have. Just received a collection, $100,000 worth of brand-new clothing from Equity last year. So Denica and myself, we actually are going to team up this fall to have a pop-up shop, like a department store, one-day department store for female veterans where they can come and shop the collection and not pay a single penny for everything they walk out of. So we're very happy with that.
Very cool. Well, and tell us, because we're on limited time, and my God, I know we could go on for a couple more hours, I'm thinking, but Toni, how can people reach you? I know, tell everybody your website, or if you have a phone number, you want them to reach you.
Yes. So tonibrooks.us is the website for the Bowtie handbag brand, and then you can find me on Instagram at Toni Brooks Style, and on Facebook at Toni L. Brooks.
And Miss Denica, how do people reach you?
Sure. I am at denicaglam.com. That's my website, and I do have a contact form on there. I'm also on Instagram as well, denicaglam, as well as on Twitter, denicaglam.
And let me share, because I want to make sure, so Denica, for you, it's denicaglam.com, and that's D as in dog, E-N-I-K-A, glam, which is G-L-A-M.com. And Toni, for you, I want to make sure everybody knows it's Toni Brooks, which is T-O-N-I, Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S.us. Is that correct, lady?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey,
correct.
Listen, I know I want to ask you, because we're a little bit over time, but I'm like, give me one thing that has just kept you going the most, because I find both of you inspiring, you know, the keep on, keeping on kind of thing. But Denica, what's the thing that's really kind of kept you motivated and on track and, you know, continuing to move forward, so to speak, in all of your expert years here? What's the one driving factor for you that keeps you going?
Sure. Number one foremost that I have to give credit to is God, for sure. God and my spirituality has definitely kept me motivated. And then the second thing would be my family, my son and my husband.
I love it. And how about you, Toni?
With me, I can say God is good, because he definitely has kept me. And when I found him, I realized I can live in ultimate peace. So regardless of what happens, I'm still peaceful with that, because I know he got me.
And then you guys are making me think I need to start singing God Bless America is what I'm thinking on this one. So on that note, we want to say happy 4th of July. Oh, my God, you guys are both delightful. Thank you so much for being on our show. And to our listeners, we want to say thank you. Happy 4th of July weekend. Just want to give you guys a special thanks for always listening in, because we will be back next Friday. And I want to share our leading lady next week is going to be Alex Cameron, who is the CEO and founder of Signature Social Marketing Consulting. And our topic is going to be on social media tips for the business-to-business professional, how they can minimize time and maximize success. So I know it's going to be a good show. Can't thank Denica and Toni again for being so delightful on our show. To all of our listeners, have a fabulous 4th of July. And ladies, we have one central focus in Connected Women of Influence, and that is, as you go about your day, try to find a way to support one another professionally. So thank you all again, and you have a lovely 4th of July. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.